Okay, הנושא זה awakening with relationships, either awakening within relationships or awakening in spite of relationships. And there's no doubt that for many this is the most difficult issue, that we can feel in our private world very peaceful, very awake, very okay with things, and then relationships seem to come along and screw everything up and throw us out of our comfort zone big time. So in a way, relationships are like a fire that either purify us or burn us up. They're power and they're like a fire. They can be for us like a prison, or they can be for us like a garden. They can do either. So, on our own, we can set the conditions, and most of us do, and we talked about this before in the subject of spiritual materialism. We can set the conditions for what comfortable for us. And we do that on our own, and including what is spiritually comfortable, meaning what we feel good with our practice, or we feel good with our journey in life. We can set the conditions on our own. And very often this can give us illusions that we are more free than we really are. And the best example that everybody knows is Jack Kornfield's example, where I think in one of his books, I don't know which one, but he wrote how he was utterly high in, after years of monastic training, and he felt totally awakened and blissful and open, and then he went back to New York and met his mother. And everything seemed to collapse. And for this was an important lesson. Because it meant that he was under illusions when he could control his life. And illusions of who he was and what he was. But that as soon as he entered the field of relationship, then things were beyond his control, and they showed him that he still had difficult places, he still had blind spots, he still had unsolved issues, he still had patterns, and all of that could be put aside as long as he was practicing on his own in the caves and in the monasteries. As soon as he was in relationship, then he couldn't throw it away, all these things. So, in a way, a relationship is a place that can show us things that we don't want to know. It can show us our blind spots. It can be for us a mirror of places that we've forgotten or not convenient. We push aside. It can show us our ego as we, for example, after years of practice, we keep having arguments with our partner. And think, how is that possible? I've had years and years and years and years of sitting practice and meditation and retreats and so on, and I still argue with my partner about shtuyot, about ridiculous things, just like I never practiced before. How is that possible? And it's possible because in some way or other we keep setting ourselves, we keep returning to the comfort. That practice for us is also comfortable. And the relationship is the hard stuff. Is the real thing, is the hardcore reality. And very often with relationship, we then try and shut it down so as not to make it uncomfortable for us. And our response can be, there's a few classic responses in relationships. For example, one of them is the response to make the relationship a place of security. So we make the relationship safe. And we work very hard so we're not challenged. And we can feel comfortable. And the partners in the family or in the partnership or in the zugiyut, in partnership, can in a way do it for each other to make everything okay. And support that comfort. And not challenge. And not raise issues. And not be a mirror to each other. And it's very nice to have support from your partner. But what's the price? Where does this support go? And it often goes into a place of comfort, security. Another place which is often gone to is escaping from the relationship. This is the classic Western model where the male is off working 12 hours a day and he's got an excellent excuse. I need to work to save, to collect money, we need to mitkadem, I need to... The whole Western world is busy with that. And so there's an excellent excuse for the, often for the male of a partnership or a family, just never to be there. But often it's not really that the male doesn't, is desperate to sit all day and in front of a computer somewhere else. It's just that the family is even more difficult. and so it's a kind of functional trap. Or withdrawal, that in families there's a withdrawal strategy of kind of disappearing inside the relationship, shutting down, not being responding, not being out there, not being available to the other partner, for example. Going off into the corner and not talking about things or not letting things be expressed and so on. And so we've got an issue which is the relationships are sort of out of our control and they show us our blind spots. They can be difficult. They can show us places we don't want to know about. And we're quite busy using them instead of these things for our to be pleasant, to try and get pleasant, to make them pleasant, to gratification, you call it in English, to be satisfied. So we find strategies for this. So I want to talk all through this course really about the sort of psychological attitude to relationships, what way we can work with relationships in a more psychological way, but more spiritual psychology, and then a little bit more the awakened approach to relationship. So in being in relationship, and this is whether it's relationship with partners or with our children or with our parents or with the workplace or wherever we are or in the chevra that we have. So the basic work we need to do in relationships to get them to be the garden and not the prison. The basic work is attention. Attention. This is the number one. There is a Greek legend that I actually only know the summary of it. I didn't really look it up and read the whole thing. It's the relationship between Psyche and the goddess Psyche and Eros, and the Greek god Eros. And Psyche and Eros were in relationship. And Eros said to Psyche, this relationship can continue, it's of great pleasure, it's just what I was saying, it really works. And they were together every night, they were in total ecstasy, but you must never turn on the light. Eros said to Psyche, you must never turn on the light and see me. That's exactly what we do in our relationship. We are great we want to have great comfort, but we keep turning off the light. We don't want to see really the truth. It's uncomfortable to us. It's a challenge. So what happened is she couldn't resist, and one night she turned on the light. He disappeared. Eros vanished. And she then had a long, long journey. I would say a soul journey to find him again in the light. And it's exactly what we need to do in a relationship. We need to turn the light on. We need to pay attention. We need to see. We can't be in the dark. But when we turn on the light, it's difficult. And it needs us to go through a process, a journey with our partners or on our own, of a search to get this relationship in the light again, in the light of day, to really, so that it really works again, to find Eros again, to find our partner again in the full light of awareness, of understanding, and not hiding in the relationship. So attention is the first thing we need to really bring into a relationship. And attention is, a lot of it is on about ourselves. And it's exactly that process where the partner shows us ourselves in the mirror, that we begin to use that and say, thank you, and begin to see how we ourselves maybe are full of fears, or full of hopes, or full of ambitions, or full of fear we run away from things, or we run, you know, someone who is running away. The male, I mentioned, that sort of the modern high-tech male that is running off to the office because he can't take the relationship. Instead of that, not to run, but to shine the light on the fear that is making this running away. Pay attention to what it is, the fear inside that's making us want to shut things down, want to escape. See how we are using the situation for our own benefit and comfort. Shine the light on that. The relationship is a good place to shine the light on places that we don't normally look at, because in a way there's the other person is showing us more truly who we are. We build a picture of the self which is comfortable. The other person comes along and shows us that we're not really like that, that we have all kinds of distorted things and difficult things and patterns and issues that we don't want to know about. The other person will show it to us. So we have to say thank you and allow attention to shine the light on who we really are. And the relationship will then help. We will be helped by the relationship. It will not be an enemy for us. It will be a friend to show us our blind spots, our fears, our insecurity, our vulnerability. And so attention is important to shine the light on ourselves in moment by moment relationship. Someone can tell us, you know, why do you do that all the time? I mean, haven't all of us heard that from our partners? You keep doing that, whatever it is. You keep doing that thing. Why are you doing it? Why do you say that all the time? And that can be enough to say, well, wait a minute, yes, I have a pattern here. Look in the mirror. And then the relationship turns into something that is of value to us by allowing the other to show us things about ourselves that we don't normally see. And then we can pay attention to that. And it's worth tons of retreats, I can tell you. Because even in a retreat we can dress things up to not to see the difficult parts. But the relationship will show us our difficult parts, and so it's very valuable. And we can see what it is that we, how are we with others? What do we, ma anachnu mishadrim, what do we broadcast? Well, this is another form of a place of attention. What it is that we do when we're with others? What comes out of us? What comes out of our mouth? Atzmanut. Irritation. You get really irritated. It's very much patterned in relationship. Irritation. And about small things. And at that moment, that's a teacher for us. Something is happening, we have a pattern, we get irritated, and then there's a moment there where we can pay attention and say, okay, I am broadcasting, I am expressing irritation. I catch it, I look it in the mirror. Where did that come from? It's coming from protection, it's coming from fears, it's coming from not wanting to be hurt, it's coming from, responding to possible threats, seeing things as being threatening, so we defend ourselves with irritation. Why you keep doing that? Why? So we need mindfulness for this, and we need mindfulness on the way we respond, the way triggers, the other person will cause triggers. I remember once in a Shul Zahav, in an organization, we had in the management, in the kind of senior core group, there were two people who were constantly fighting with each other, and nothing we could do would help. We tried everything under the sun. We tried to sort it out somehow or other. There were two people, both Arabs, Israeli Arabs. They kept fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. And we decided the only thing to do is to go through a real serious process. So we went away for a day or two with them, all of us, like 7-8 people who were the kind of the management group, should we say, the core group of Middleway, Shvil Zahav, Amutat Shvil Zahav, meant to be doing peace work, but at the center there was this constant battle between two people. And neither of them were meditators, but both of them very wise. And we went through a process in which every time there was a reactivity, the others around showed the mirror, brought up the mirror. Do you see what you said just now? Why do you say that? And the person would say, I couldn't help it, this other one really annoyed me. Okay. What is it inside? What is that feeling of being annoyed? Look at that. And slowly, slowly going back inside. And eventually we came to a place where both parties understood there some very, very deep cultural and personal issues, to do with the pride and protection and ego, and as soon as they understood that they were expressing things which came through them from the Arab culture and from their families as they grew up and from their own lives, the whole thing collapsed. The whole conflict was finished. And it was a beautiful process to people who didn't practice, but somehow we managed to keep shining the light on the moment of reactivity. Okay, catch that moment. What is it that you're broadcasting? What is it that you're expressing right now? Where is it coming from? What protection that you're expressing? The same time we need to watch, pay attention to what it is that we keep covering over. What is the pain underneath? that we cover with nice, okay, let's not argue about this. No, it's not worth it. Let's just watch a movie. What is it we cover over? Pretending that things are okay or dressing things up. We need to uncover the sources of the way things are shut down, or the way we cover over our insecurity, our fears, and dress it up. We need to uncover it, to actually be active. And the two, if there is a partnership where both parties agree that one of the main purposes of relationship is transformation or growing together or deepening or understanding or wisdom, then both parties can help each other with this, with the uncovering of things. And it really should be there in relationships. In a way, if it's not there, then maybe the relationship, you know, may not be worth it. Don't know. But maybe there are other things. But the uncovering is important. The truth. The relationship really needs to be based on truth. And then it works beautifully. It's a garden and not a prison. So things need to be uncovered and open, hopefully together. And the other thing about on the psychology aspect, or on maybe, you know, the boundary of psychology and Dharma and Dharma wisdom, is that we really, there isn't such a thing as relationship. It's not a thing. Relationship is not a thing. A family is not a thing. A partner between, you know, a couple is not a thing. It's a dynamic, flowing, changing field, or pattern, or system. And I remember my daughter was Yasmin, in part of her practice as a psychologist in London, a counsellor, she kept talking about systemic therapy. And I asked her a lot about it. Systemic therapy is seeing a family unit as not a thing, but a system which flows, which has inputs, and which people, one party puts into the system a certain energy or a certain quality, and then the whole thing changes because of what this person puts in, or that person puts in, or this attitude of this one, or that one, and how the thing is a very dynamic system of family. So it's not a thing. And it's good for us to see how everything is changing all the time. How everything is in chains, causation, to be clear about causation. Sibatiyut. You put this, you feed this, and then waves happen. You make this statement, and waves happen. You make this, you bring this energy and waves happen. But at the same time, it saves relationships. I know a couple that whenever they argue, they're very different people, but whenever they argue, they go to the kitchen together and they stand side by side and they both together take one step and they said, "We stepped out of it." It's very sweet. We stepped out. In other words, the whole thing can change and is gone. And relationship is dynamic. It's all the time can be fresh and new and renewed. And also anicca, it really saves the situation from getting stuck, from getting buried. We had this slogan also with my own relationship with my wife, Rachel, that we used to sort of, she's hugely different from me. She's like another universe. She's nowhere, nothing like me whatsoever. A total different creature. But we used, and then so we, at the beginning of our relationship, we had lots of fights. But our relationship is based on the depth. And by the way, a bit of advice, after all these years, we've been together 35 years, or something like that, can't even count anymore. And we used to say at the beginning that we run away from each other to each other. So we run away from the clash to a deeper place of relating where everything is fine. And it's running away from each other to each other. So it's kind of the depth, the place of the depth is the place of renewing. And if a bit of advice, if you're looking for a partner or you have a partner or you, you know, the relationship at the level and the deeper energetic level is what makes it. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter whether you're the Dharma, well, one Dharma person and another person not Dharma. And one person like this, one person like that, one person Israeli, another one British. Who cares? All of that is on the level of person, makes no difference. Or makes it not much difference. But the depth is the place, energetic place where there is flow under the person, not the person, in the depth, in the core. And that's where the place of freshness all the time. And on the psychology level, the one other thing I just want to mention is that you can have intentions in relationship. Intentions to work together. Or intentions to work on your own. It actually doesn't matter so much. But the intention can be expressed in the relationship. Intention, for example, to let the truth come out. The intention to be touched. The intention to have your heart open. Doesn't matter if the other person doesn't respond. Your heart is open, it's okay. It doesn't really matter what the other person does. But the intention to open your heart. Because the flow of love is not controllable, but you can intend to open the heart, to be touched, to touch with the heart. So the intention to live under the stories, not through the story, but through the energy of love and the energy of awareness. And that doesn't really matter if the other person is with you with that or not with you with that. The relationship would be just fine. So I want to move to the aspects of transformation, the aspects, if you like, the more spiritual side, the awakening side. Clearly I didn't mention love. And I put love there in the spiritual side, not in the conventional side. And I put love there in the spiritual side because it's a huge transformative energy, love. It just transforms everything. It's not in the realm of mind. It's not in the realm of story. It's not in the realm of issues. So I put love there in the power of transformation. And I've asked, it's interesting. I mean, there's quite a few people I know who used to be monks for many, many years, like Akinchano, Christopher, many, many years. And Cornfield and others. And they all left because of love. They left the monastery because of they fell in love, or they were needed love, or they love took them over. Kinshina wrote an article about it, actually. I didn't see it, but apparently it's a very beautiful article of why he left after 14 years as a Theravada monk in a monastery in Switzerland. He left because of love. Actually, Israeli woman, yeah. And there's something about love which shifts you to another place. There's something total about love. It can't be contained, it can't be sorted, it can't be made right or wrong. It's a primary place where the self is not running the show. The self is not in charge anymore. And because of that, it's a primary place of power, of transformation. There can be true relationship only when there is love. But love is not the search for gratification. Love exists only when there is self-forgetfulness. We forget the self. When there is complete communion, not between one and two, but communion with the highest. And that can only happen when the self is forgotten. This is quotes from Krishnamurti. When you love, when you give yourself over to something entirely holy, then there is no relationship. Relationship doesn't even exist. It's just love. Love is, in a way, not relationship. Love is union. So there, in a way, it's one. The heart just joins, and so there's not, in a sense, a relationship. Also for me, and I find after all these years of relationship, it's just love that it makes the thing worthwhile after all these years. Love is flowing and flowing, and it changes its shape, it changes its nature, but it's a huge power. And as Krishnamurti says, it's a power that reduces the self. And so we have to put that in the realm of awakening. It makes the self irrelevant. And when we love inside a relationship, that love has the power to go out into the world. It starts with relationship or with a couple in relationship that love. But if the love is encouraged and developed and supported and appreciated, then that love goes everywhere, like metta or compassion. It just spreads. It touches, like the Tibetans say, everyone has been our mother. So we look on everyone, in a way, as our family. And it's love that allows us to do that. And that's a very powerful transformation. Our heart is touched. And I want to read a piece by Diana Winston, who is now director of mindfulness programs at University of California, and she's a Dharma teacher. And she was years and years and years as a nun, Theravada nun. And she says, when I look back on my own understanding in years of Theravada retreat practice, the basket in which I placed all my tender eggs, I find that my sense of enlightenment has now shifted. For me, Nibbana now seems far broader, including life in all its messiness. Changing the millionth shitty diaper with care and patience. Waking up again and again, since you have no more self left to care about sleeping or bathing in the love, the undeniably sweet baby metta. I should have said that she went in a relationship and she had a baby. And this is about this article is called Mama Nibbana, and it's about her life after that. She said, it's the sweet baby metta that spreads through every second, living in an infant's natural presence, attuning to her moment after moment, seeing the astonishing changing nature of things before your own eyes, without missing a beat. Yeah, all this might have a tiny bit of the aroma of enlightenment, a mild scent perhaps, a breeze, or more. I used to think I couldn't practice if I had children. Perhaps the better question is, how can I not practice? Maybe these are all the late night ramblings of a sleep-deprived new mother. Even so, I can't help wondering, if the Buddha had been a mother, wouldn't she have shared the very same Dhamma, the Mama Nibbana Sutta, of the awakening that comes through baby? So, the place in relationship where we let go, where in a way we renounce, we let go into, as she said, the 1 millionth changing of the nappy, the diaper of the baby. A million times, seemingly, a million times dirty nappies. And it's the letting go into that place where everything is mirroring us, where we don't need any images anymore of who we are and who the other one is. We don't need any more labels. We don't need any more defenses. We are, in a way, surrendering. There is love underneath, and we surrender, and we open to a place that is not in our control anymore. We surrender control. We renounce control. We can't control other people. We can't control what happens. It's a dynamic system that is taking us away. And just staying with this, losing the self, staying with the depth, looking in the eyes of the other person, realizing the depth there, looking in the moments of relationship, realizing the depth, looking in the way we respond, we react with wisdom or without wisdom, and seeing the depth in that, appreciating the moments of silence, and then coming back into relationship, and the non-identification, the fact that this other person next to you is representing all of mankind, is not representing this personality, but all mankind is there, all humankind is there in the other person in front of you. All human beings are there, your mother is there in every person, your father. It's that place where non-identification happens. Through the fire of relationship, then you begin to kind of, the other person next to you represents something much bigger, much bigger place. And finally we come to the place of, I would say, the totality. And this where it fits with our own meditation, the relationship fits with our own insights, which is that, we don't really exist as ourselves at all. And if we let go and open our heart and open our mind, and we see the way things are just as they are, and we let the identification be reduced, we begin to see everything as relationship. Everything becomes relationship. Our existence becomes a relationship. We can experience that in relationship with others, and we can experience that as we sit on the meditation cushion. And again, I like to quote Krishnamurti. Relationship surely is the mirror in which you discover yourself. Without relationship, you are not. To be is to be related. To be related is existence. You exist only in relationship, otherwise you do not exist. Existence has no meaning. It's not because you think you are that you come into existence. You exist because you are related. And it is the lack of understanding of this that causes conflict. So, it's the final point I want to leave this talk with, is that as we embrace the other and embrace ourselves, we are embracing something much, much bigger. And the relationship can be a doorway to something that's bigger than both or all.